From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom. We thought we were going to have a mini camp. Well, we had most of one anyway. I'm Ryan, the founder of Rogue Analytics. I'm the host at RGR Football as well. Make sure you're checking that out on YouTube. The links are in the show notes. But a little bit of a surprise today that as the team was getting ready to wrap up, the weather kind of intervened. And I think Coach Reed had some opinions, and we'll talk about those here in a minute. But at the end of the day, the last practice of mini camp was canceled. And they proceeded right to the closing press statements by the quarterback and the head coach and moved on from there. So at this point, your Chiefs offseason is in the books. Chris, how do you feel about it?
Pretty good. There's still question marks, but I think there's going to be question marks in every offseason. I think that you don't ever feel 100% about where the team is with things. So overall, I feel pretty good. I mean, they have a young QB of the future that, from what it sounds like in minicamp, really tore it up and is really impressing people. And the Chiefs didn't allow people in press to watch most of the OTA. So you only saw very small, you only got very small information about the OTA performance from Mahomes. So to me, I think overall, I think they're going to be in good shape. It's just going to be a waiting game now, unfortunately.
Yeah. And, you know, and we'll run down here in a couple of minutes some of the interesting facts, but the Chiefs did kind of what they do fairly regularly, that as things are winding down and folks are losing interest and the media is starting to wrap up their week and kind of move on, all of a sudden, post-news conference, they have announced some roster changes. Just kind of what's becoming their standard operating procedure, a news dump on what usually is a Friday during the season and is now a Thursday, but a couple of interesting moves first and foremost.
Well, to be fair though, I just want to throw this out there. To be fair, the only reason it happened on a Thursday is because nobody's going to be there tomorrow.
Right. Normally if they had had practice today and everything, they probably would have done it tomorrow. But, yep. Having completed their mini camp evaluations, which did include some players that were actually trying out, the biggest move is that the draft class is now complete. And Derek Nnadi is signed, sealed, and delivered, and they have all of their draft class ready to go. And for the first time, probably since year one of the Reed regime, rookies are going to participate. They're going to play a role in 2018 on the field. And I think Derek Nnadi is one that's been kind of quiet through this offseason procedure, but I think he is one that is going to see some time.
I do too. I think he's going to see time probably behind Xavier Williams, at least to start the season. But I do think he is going to be a bigger factor in this defense than we originally maybe thought.
I'm very intrigued because not only does he fill what was a role that Dontari Poe used to play in the nose that they tried to get last season, and you know, nothing against Benny Logan. I didn't think he was that great back at the nose. Obviously, they didn't care to keep him, so they moved on. But as little as they're going to be, as we're projecting at least, to be in the base defense where they're running a nose tackle, I think he and Williams, having two of those guys that can hold it down is going to be great. Try to keep them fresh. It gives them options when they go to the four-man front and they play three techs where they can have two huge ones if they want to. I mean, that's not even counting Alan Bailey. So I'm pretty impressed with the fact that he's been able to get in the rotation and he's made some impression early.
Yeah, it's definitely a good sign for Nnadi to be able to do that. And you look at what they have in Xavier Williams, I think it's another young ascending player that I think will show good promise this year. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to use him. And, you know, is it going to be a complete starter role? Or are they going to go? And we're still not sure if they're going to go much to a base 3-4 like we would see in the past. It really could be a 2-5 or a 2-4-5 normal base type package. We just don't know yet. Camp will tell a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're going to use that third linebacker, and we're going to talk about that here in a second. If you're going to use that third linebacker, you can go to more of a traditional 4-3 look in the front, play an under roll, shift some of those guys around. And again, having the horses to swap them out and keep them fresh along the D-line is important. I think the biggest takeaway for me was the fact that the guy who's probably the best player along that defensive line did some press, and he had comments for both of those players. And what Chris Jones had to say is that specific to Naughty was that, quote, he's got to learn a little bit of the game. But other than that, we have some great guys right here. And that's, end quote. And that's a good touch on a guy that he's probably practiced with now for a grand total of 10 hours. You know, and as far as Williams, it's interesting that Chris Jones is the guy kind of representing the group and being the professional and the kind of veteran. But then he says that he's getting tips and tricks from Xavier Williams about how to use his body frame and how to better take advantage of the physical tools that he already has. So it's good to see that this team is so young, but yet they're feeding upon what they're good at.
Well, and you have a guy in Chris Jones that really loves the spotlight and loves to talk, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just his personality, and he's very colorful. So it makes sense that they're having him talk because you know he's going to have a lot of fun with it, and the press and fans are going to eat it up. So I think that's a good sign for them as well. And it's always good to see a young player, especially a third-year player, stepping into more of a leadership role.
Yeah.
Especially one that has as much talent as Jones does, because I think he could be a superstar in this league.
Yeah, I won't argue with you. And I think a lot of people across the league feel like that, you know, and other moves that were made on Thursday as minicamp wrapped were a couple of acquisitions, some tryout players that were in minicamp, a running back in Algernon Brown, a wide receiver in Josh Crockett, and a tackle in Bentley Spain. They did waive a couple of guys you might be surprised by. Caleb Johnson, I didn't expect to make the team the first place, but Malik Reeves is somebody who's made some strides in the past, as well as J.D. Moore had some good comments coming early in OTAs, but didn't quite make the cut. So I think what they're doing is just swapping around players, and that's a good thing that there's enough room to jostle at the bottom of the roster that they can still improve.
No, absolutely, and I am kind of surprised about Malik Reeves, because I was expecting him to at least get some good looks in the preseason, because it sounded like he actually played pretty well in rookie minicamp. So really kind of surprised that they saw enough throughout OTAs and this minicamp to let him go already.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's going to come back to some of the other guys we're going to talk about here in a bit. So why don't we take a quick second, and when we come back, we'll talk about what's going on and what some of these young guys are doing. Now, clearly in the secondary is a group of players, as we were just discussing, that Reeves being released is a sign that a player who has made some splash is getting let go, that there are others that are outplaying him. And I think what you have in Tremont Smith is something that's starting to click. Clearly, we have the top three in Amerson, Fuller, and Nelson. Steve Nelson was in front of the press the other day and had good things to say both about Amerson as well as Fuller, and specifically how quickly Fuller's picking up the defense. And that's great. He should have to play quite a bit, but there are times you got to go dime and you need a fourth corner. And that's really where the competition is going to pick up. And I think Smith is a guy that's starting to separate himself, and the Reeves, letting Reeves go, I think is a sign that they're starting to narrow down who are the DBs that are going to make this roster.
Yeah, and if they've already figured out some of that already, that's a great thing for them. Obviously, there's still a lot of young guys that we have to see and kind of see how everything shakes out at the end. But like I said, I was really surprised to see Reeves was one of the guys let go to make room for these extra pieces that we're trying out.
You know, and further on, I think what we're going to see overall is – I know people are tired of me talking about the offensive line, but really it's something that to this point, and I didn't even realize this until after the presser today, that Cam Irving's taken every snap at center this whole off season. And I think that's significant, especially if Mitch Morse is still slow in returning, although Coach Reed said on Thursday that he feels that Morse should be available. I don't know if that word means full go for training camp.
Yeah, but available after being out for as long as he's been out. And the other question is, and I guess we're sticking with Mitch Morse, but the other question I have is, what do you think about this whole D-Ford thing? Because that's... he didn't really specify near as much on that one.
Right, and that's what I was looking for. And there were some reports early that that were claiming that Reed had said that Ford would be back. And then later those were refuted and other people said that he just said that he was making progress. And that's great. I hope he is making progress. If he's not making progress really, really fast, then the Chiefs are going to see those young guys on the outside in Tano Pasigno and Breland Speaks quite a bit. I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Well, and the other question becomes, okay, so you have Mitch Morse, who had a screw in his foot still at this time, and that's why he's not participating in off-season practices. I'm just curious as to what happened there, because that seems like a larger injury than we were thought, we at least thought it was going to be. I mean, the time frame seems a lot longer term than we would have expected.
Yeah, and you never know what happens in the rehab process because the Chiefs are so closed door about injury updates, et cetera. That sounds like at some point there was maybe a setback, maybe doing too much too fast, which is something that Chris Conley spoke about today, about how they've been reining him in so that he doesn't get too much volume on that Achilles. I thought that was interesting too. And by the way, it's just one more sign that Chris Conley's out there is talking to the press of what this team's going to look like come week one.
Well, and I really was impressed with what I've heard from Conley when he said he was extremely excited to have Sammy Watkins in camp or on the team. I mean, to me, that is a very, very great veteran move on his part, knowing that you look at what he could have probably thought was going to happen going into the season, and then seeing them bring in Sammy Watkins, if he had a bad attitude, that could be a problem.
Right. Not his persona, but I think the most interesting thing about what Conley had to say to the press was specific to Watkins and the fact that Conley's in that role where he's the guy who's been in the offense the most. He knows the offense the best. And in his words, he said that Watkins is the person that has picked up this offense the fastest of any receiver that he's played with. And that includes Jeremy Maclin, who had played in the offense before. And I think that's significant.
Well, I don't know that it includes Maclin, and I know what he said, but I don't know that you would include Maclin in that just because Maclin had already played in the offense. But I could be wrong. But you're right. That's a fantastic sign for Watkins, especially considering the talk when they signed him was that he was only going to play one position and he wasn't going to learn all three. And obviously that's changed since then.
And the other thing that I took away from these pressers, both Patrick Mahomes as well as Conley spoke about it, and that is the fact that they have new wrinkles installed right now. They're not waiting for training camp. They have new personnel sets, and both of the players mentioned that they are taking whole sets of groups of players and moving them all over different motions, different resets, where they're all playing in different positions. And that's why Watkins has had to learn all three positions. That's why Conley already knows them. And Tyreek Hill, I think, by now probably has them all. I know he had a little bit of struggle with some of them early, but when you can wholesale move those pieces around the chessboard for a guy like Mahomes, both of them hinted at, hey, they can't cover everybody. Somebody's going to be open.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, I mean, you look at how effective Kansas City was able to be last season when Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill were on the same side of the field. Well, now it doesn't have to just be Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. You throw Watkins in there instead of Hill, and you still have phenomenal opportunity there as a wide receiver group.
Yeah, and I expect them it's just going to make it that much more easy to allow other players to step up. And I think that what we're going to see, as much as people want to know, you know, are we going to see multiple 1,000-yard receivers again? I personally don't see that happening because defenses can play quarters. They can play cover two and try to keep a guy on a guy. But at the end of the day, with the way Andy Reid's offense works, the leveled, structured route sets, you have to guard deep against Watkins and Hill. And that just allows too much room to maneuver for players like Travis Kelce, like Chris Conley, like DeMarcus Robinson. They have enough, and they have other younger players. We've talked ad nauseum this offseason about who's going to make it as a wide receiver, but I think there are a number of other guys that can make this roster and still make defenses pay when they pay so much attention to the deep ball.
Yep. No, I definitely agree. I think it's going to be very fun to watch this wide receiver group, which is good because the tight end group is something that's lacking right now. So it's nice to have at least half of the pass catching group be substantial.
Yeah. What can you say? Yeah. I still see, when I look out there, I still see Demetrius Harris taking snaps with the ones, and it just didn't make any sense to me.
I understand. Let's take another quick break, and we will be right back. All right, so we did get one question that I wanted to ask you, and this is a very good question because there's been a lot of talk about all these players throughout camp or throughout OTAs and camp. What is the likelihood that UDFAs Stearns, Springs, Hunter, and Darrell Williams all make the 53?
The 53?
Yeah.
I would say zero.
I would agree with that.
I think one of them will. I think there's an outside possibility two of them will. All four? No, I can't see that happening. The positions, you know, unfortunately, I think Jordan Stearns has made some progress. His name has come up repeatedly through the offseason. Unfortunately, he plays at a position that they have, at least as of right now, a plethora of talent at. And I have trouble seeing how he's going to make it there. He's still practice squad eligible.
Wait a second. So you're now calling Sorensen a plethora of talent. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
No. I'm saying he's there, Murray's there, Watts is there. There's too many players in front of Stearns. I think what we've seen from Stearns myself has been enough that his ball skills are on display. He clearly understands the defense better than he did as a rookie. And I personally am comfortable with them moving on from Sorensen, keeping Watts, keeping Murray, and Stearns maybe being that fourth safety that makes the roster.
Yeah. Well, and that wouldn't shock me. I do think that, you know, I've talked to Matt Derrick a lot about Arian Springs, so it wouldn't surprise me for him making it. Darrell Williams is another one that, to me, it's tough. I don't know how you're going to keep all those running backs. Obviously, I don't have to worry about it right now, but it's a big question mark how they're going to keep all those running backs. You would have to think that some of them are going to get cut.
And there are some that are practice squad eligible. So I think it's going to come down to if they can identify early in camp somebody that they feel is eventually going to sprout and become a player they want to keep, you might not see him play in the preseason, or you might see him play very sparingly so that teams can't get film on him, so that Veach can attempt to squeeze him onto the practice squad and have him get through the waiver wire so that he's allowed to be signed. I will not be surprised if one of these players is exactly that scenario because, like you said, there's just so much talent at the position.
Well, and then you have Hunter, who I believe is an offensive lineman, and to me that's going to be a very tough role for him to make. How many do we count? The five starters, and right now we'll throw Iyengar in there as a starter, so then that leaves Witzman, who you know is going to be back, Irving's going to be back, and McKenzie, so that's eight.
I think McKenzie is a practice squad player. I don't think he's a 53. They've gone out of their way to identify him as a project, and I think that's the way it's going to roll. And from what Matt Derrick had to say about his wrap-up of camp was that Iyengar and Hunter were sharing some reps. And I think that this UDFA kid might have a better shot than we all thought he did originally.
Well. And that's possible. I have a hard time believing that they're going to throw a sixth-round pick that they're knowing is going to be a project, like they knew LDT was going to be a project as a sixth-round pick on the practice squad, because LDT never went to the practice squad.
True, but not everybody's LDT.
No, and I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying they knew he was going to be a project like they know LDT was going to be a project, and he never went to the practice squad. I don't see them going that route, but I've been wrong before.
Yeah, we'll see.
And I'll be wrong again at some point.
We're a long, long way from cutdown day. And as Matt has reminded me multiple times, there is only one cutdown this year. just like last season. I got to keep reminding myself that. So that's even longer for them to get the evaluation in. So whatever we think today isn't necessarily what's going to happen.
But I will say this. If Hunter is going to supplant Iyengar, is Witzman really a guarantee anymore?
Yeah, Witzman can be your swing tackle.
Well, true.
I think Irving and Witzman are 6 and 7, period, no matter what. Assuming that Iyengar is the winner at left guard. And that maybe that makes Hunter 8. And if it were to flip and Hunter were to win that job, I definitely you're not going to get rid of Iyengar because you feel you've invested in him and you still have to feel that he has the ability to improve. So I think you're looking at 8 solid guys make this 53, and that's probably them right there.
I still think they keep 9 because in most years they've kept more, but it's going to be a war of numbers at other positions as well. So it's really hard to know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of time will tell. And I guess really where I was going with the whole if Hunter wins a position, it's a good scenario, is that if you can find a starter as an undrafted free agent, that's a win. And he's a good starter, obviously. Or at least even league average as a rookie, I'd be okay with. As long as he's not bringing down the team.
And that's a definite possibility. And, you know, and we have to include as well that there are more options behind Demetrius Harris as well. We've heard good things about both Blake Mack as well as Alex Ellis. And Matt even said the other day that Tim Wright was looking like he was performing well.
Yeah, here's the problem with Blake Mack. Blake Mack has been playing as a wide receiver.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
So don't think you can look at him from the tight end perspective. I get where you're going with that, but they've been looking at him as a wide receiver. He's been practicing as a wide receiver, so I think that's the direction they're going with him, which – you know, as a guy that, from what I've heard, is not much of a blocker, it makes a lot of sense if he's a big body and they think he can run, you know, make him a wide receiver if you think you can make a project out of him. Obviously, it's not going to be a guy that's going to make the roster this year, but
if you think that's where his better potential is. Well, and everything that I've seen and heard to this point, I really want to see Alex Ellis because he's a player that I haven't seen many snaps out of, and I think he's somebody that might have the inside track as we get into those guys that are on the fringe of the roster come cut down day.
I just think it's going to be very fun to watch this entire group and see how training camp goes with so many different aspects, because you look at how Alex Smith played last year and Pat Mahomes is going to struggle at times this year. And I'm okay with that. The bigger issue is how do the rest of the players adapt and how does that end up showing up on the field? Because at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is going to throw the ball. If you're, you know, he will throw the ball where Alex Smith never would have thought of throwing the ball. So it will be fun to watch.
Well, and I will say this about Pat Mahomes. He's been on fire the entire time. We've talked quite a bit about him the last couple of weeks, and so has most of the national press.
And did you see he was on NFL Network on Thursday morning?
I didn't actually see it yet, no.
I did see it. At the end, they asked him, okay, Pat, how far can you throw the ball? And he goes, oh, 85 yards.
That's nothing.
Just matter of fact.
Well, good for him. You know, have some confidence.
Wow is all I can say.
Right.
I mean, great. I'm happy he's got confidence, but gee, mini Christmas, I can't imagine.
Well, and I'm glad that he does, because we heard a little bit as practice wound down. I almost wish he had one more practice, although it was just a walkthrough, so it probably wasn't going to help anything. But he's got enough confidence that his last practice probably isn't going to eat into anything, although he was picked off a couple of times late. And, again, that's kind of that roller coaster thing. That he's going to have really good days. He's going to make some mistakes. I'm just happy that one of the interceptions pulled off in practice of Mahomes was actually made by Eric Murray. And that's a good sign that he's able to get his hands on the ball, because we've seen so little of the secondary we've heard very little about safeties making plays on the ball.
Yep. No, that's true. And you know, Eric Murray is a player that could have a huge role in this defense if he's able to put things together. Armani Watts could have a huge role in this defense if he's able to do what he did in college. A bunch of ifs there, but it will be very fun to watch and see how they progress throughout the season. In the offseason, I mean, where's Eric Murray going to line up when the preseason starts? Don't have a clue right now.
Well, and Armani Watts is the other player that got to Mahomes' pass. So good sign from both of those young players. So we will see in about 6 weeks when they start to take the field. But in the meantime, folks, we're going to have all kinds of information for you. We're going to talk to people around the league. We're going to talk a little bit about the quarterback in the coming weeks. We're going to have some rundowns about where the position groups are. Have a lot of great guests. Some of our guys from LockedOnChiefs.com, so stay tuned for that, as well as some of the old friends that maybe you haven't heard for a while. So we appreciate you listening to us and hope you enjoyed minicamp. Stick with us through this lull. It's 6 weeks to training camp, folks. Enjoy that, and we'll be right here for you. Make sure you're here for listening to whatever we can come up with that you might want to get a hold of. So thank you for listening to us today, and we'll hit you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.